I'm pumped you're here because your book, The $100 Startup, mm-hmm. New York Times bestseller, right?
This
book has changed my life.
Oh, that's awesome.
I have it. I don't have many books on my bookshelf in my office. Mm-hmm. And this is one of those books that I go to and I actually use as a reference. What is personally your favorite part of that book?
Oh, well, first of all, I'm really glad to hear that. I'm so glad it's made an impact. I think my favorite part would probably be some of the stories. The stories of people who, and this is the whole theme of the book, of people who weren't necessarily trying to be entrepreneurs or have a big startup or follow, you know, the path of Shark Tank or whatever, but they were just regular people and they found a way to make a good living doing something that mattered to them. And that was the you know, global collective story that I hope to tell with that book. And I'm glad that it's resonated. So I often hear stories, you know, just like you said, you've been impacted through some of those stories as well. And that to me is probably my favorite part, is hearing that there's some intersection between something that I've done and something that people then, you know, kind of pick up and run with. And I think it's cool because you're the one who runs with it. You're the one who does all the work. Mm-hmm. And I fully recognize that, but it's fun to be a little part of it.
I think a lot of times it goes back and forth where your mindset of the side hustle, it then grows and you do things different when you like work for a venture backed company versus say you're a solo entrepreneur and you're selling a product at a profit and you're actually building a legitimate company.
Right. Yeah. When you have to make a profit. I think that's the key word, right? When you're with a venture backed kind of startup, you don't necessarily have to have a profitable business. And you know, that's not reality or real life for the average person out there.
That is why I love what I'm doing right now and kind of why I'm a big fan of yours, because I shit on like the venture backed community right now. Like I know, like, come on, they get one win out of 10, they hope. Mm-hmm. And it's like, but you inspire this culture of young person where it's like, hey, let's shoot for this. And then they fail in 8 months and then they don't give up and they're not really an entrepreneur. On one side, I love that. On the other side, I'm like, if you taught these people how to be like the true principles of becoming an entrepreneur, which your book does a good job of, they would be more successful, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's this tricky thing because as you said, like when you take big risks, you know, you have a big goal, like there is this potential of failure and we do learn through failure and so on. But I think you're completely right when you kind of say some people in that community or some principles in that community almost uphold failure as a virtue in itself. And failure is not really the goal. Like, yes, we can learn through failure, but the whole goal is to succeed, right? So, you know, if you fail 9 times in a row at your startup, maybe you're doing something wrong. You know, maybe there's a way to short circuit that process and just fail once, you know, and actually have a successful business. I mean, that to me is more interesting than just failing over and over and saying like, oh, wow, look at me, I failed, you know?
Yeah. Right? Like, I can't imagine
I'm going to go write a book about how I failed and like, now I'm going to go on TV or whatever, you know?
And now I'm going to be a New York Times bestselling author, right? Like, mm-hmm. I think one of the tenets I took, you talk about investing in winners, I think, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that is what I literally built a company and a product on that. Like, mm-hmm. helping people, because there was this whole culture of people mm-hmm. that would spend 50, 60, 70, 80, 100 grand on like a product that had a big failure rate. Mm. So like they would go all in and they needed all this money, to where we get their high fidelity MVP out mm-hmm. for like 5-6 grand. So mm-hmm. like you could do 10 of those for that mm-hmm. same cost.
Sure.
You figure out which one wins in the market mm-hmm. and then you deploy more money toward it and then you have a better odds of success.
Right.
Can you dive into that a little bit? Invest in winners?
Yeah. Well, I think what, you know, this is contrary to what our natural inclination is. Just as side hustlers or as you know, people in general, is we start like 3 or 4 different things and then, you know, one of them is doing better than the others and we think we have to catch up the others. We have to go and something's not doing well. How can I, you know, have that one make $1,000 or $10,000 or $100,000, whatever the number is. And in reality, it's like, you know, this is the 80-20 principle, the Pareto principle in action. Like, you know, only a small percentage of things are going to be successful. So that's what you put your time in. That's what you put your money in. And, you know, when I wrote the $100 Startup, or lot of the stuff that I do, I'm not telling people not to invest in their business. I'm saying, you know, to get started, you really don't have to invest a lot usually. And then when you have a proven concept, or at least you think it's viable, you have more than just like a, you know, general opinion, but you have some evidence, you know, evidence-based, you know, research that there's something can happen with this, something better can happen if I put money toward it. That's when you choose to invest, you know. And over time, you're going to be much more successful in doing that than just trying to do everything at parity, or trying to, you know, just have a, you know, mediocre kind of business. That's what happens when you try to invest in the losers. But if you invest in the winners, you know, there's a lot of people with really successful businesses with one product, you know, a lot of people making six figures or more with just one product. And I think that takes a lot of discipline, because, you know, it's very natural for us to be like, oh, I got one product. What's the next one? What's the product line? What's the extension? You know, and sometimes that's good, but not always.
Well, how long did it take you to learn that? Like, because you started off with blogging.
How long did it take me to learn? I don't know. I think I'm still learning it, because I do a lot of different stuff, and I'm not that focused all the time. I mean, I really enjoy starting projects, and I wouldn't be satisfied if I just had like a single business. I learned that about myself a long time ago. So, I mean, as for blogging, I mean, that came about after, you know, more than 10 years of entrepreneurial projects. I'd been doing a bunch of different stuff, and then I thought maybe I should write about this, you know, and then that led to writing books and the quest to go to every country in the world and all the stuff that came later.
And now, are you more known for an author or an entrepreneur?
I don't really think about, you know, what I'm known for. I mean, that's like a question for other people, I feel like. But for me, I think of myself as, I guess if I had to describe it, I would say I'm an author. I'm a writer, traveler, entrepreneur. These days I have a daily podcast, and that takes a lot of time. I've been doing that for 571 days in a row. So that's a big commitment as well. But, you know, I do different stuff.
How is that going? Sure. Do you get guests every day, or is it just you spouting off, or...?
It's a little bit of both. It's not me just spouting off. It is just me, but I'm telling a different story every day. I'm telling a story of a different person out there who has a day job and creates some kind of income generating project. And so I deconstruct it, like, how do they get the idea? What happens along the way? What mistakes do they make? And then what was the outcome? And so actually my secret is, doing it every single day is a lot easier than doing it 2 to 3 days a week. And, I can't imagine, you know, like paring it down and just doing it a couple times a week, because having it every day is like, that's my habit. That's my focus. I got, no matter what else happens today, I have to record that episode. And I like that.
Yeah. So like, wait, is it 5 days a week, 7 days a week?
7 days a week.
Oh, dude, I couldn't do it.
No days like, off.
There's no way. Maybe I try it and I get into it and I just share stories. This is one thing that I love though. So if you do this, and with the $100 startup, you have, what is it? Is it 100? I forget how many examples exactly were in there that of people that you used.
Yeah, it's been a while since I wrote that book, but I think maybe 50 or so.
50 or so, okay. So it's like, I love that strategy. And Gary Vaynerchuk just used that strategy in his latest book, where he had 30 like semi-influencers. Some were influencers, some were not. But it's like, he was able to arbitrage those people's audience that then shared his book. And like, you get that same kind of deal with your daily podcast, right? Or your first book. Did that go into that at all? Like that pre-thought? Or no, that was just a byproduct of like, oh, like a benefit. Like, all these people are going to share it.
I think it was more of a byproduct. I think if you go into it thinking that way, it's not like it's a bad thing or something, but I'm more interested in telling people stories who are a little bit lesser known, you know? So I don't necessarily, you know, need to have everybody in my books be an influencer. And to me, some of the more interesting stories actually are people that nobody's ever heard of. And, you know, they're doing something that's just, you know, totally creative and crazy. I mean, that to me is more interesting than like, here's all these people that have a million followers or whatever. I think also it's like, you know, who are you trying to serve? And for me, I'm trying to serve my readers. I'm trying to serve the listeners. And I think they are better served in reading about or hearing about somebody that they can relate to. And most people can't relate to celebrities, you know, for better or worse. And so if you hear somebody, it's like, oh, this is just an average dude. You know, he doesn't have, you know, a lot of Instagram followers or whatever, but he was able to you know, take this little business idea and didn't have like social capital, but he found a way to get the word out. And like, now he's successful. That to me is more interesting.
Yes. I think the fact that I've come from a trailer park to we have an office on Sunset Boulevard.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Well done.
In LA.
Well done.
by 30, two six-figure companies. A lot of it was through your book, by the way.
That's good, but I appreciate you saying that, but it's obviously your work. You're the one who did the work, so
trust me.
Well done.
I could not blow my ego up anymore. Like, I know that I have greatness within me. It's just
good.
Like,
you should.
You know, you do get down, man. You get down on yourself.
Sure.
And you have those days where you there's no one out there that can help you. You feel like it's lonely mm-hmm. position at the top, and you just mm-hmm. cry as you drive home, and you're like, well, this is this. But yep. you wake up the next day and you mm-hmm. attack it, you know?
Yeah. Maybe you ask yourself, what's the alternative? Like, yeah, that sucks, but, you know, I could be back in the trailer, you know?
Exactly.
So this is better, right? You know?
This is better than the fucking trailer.
I'd rather have these, you know, advanced first world problems. You know, how do I pay taxes on the money that I made? Well, okay, what's the alternative? I could not make that money in the first place. Okay, this is better. I'll figure it out, you know?
Right. Like, I don't even think that I'm that intelligent, right? Like, I just work my ass off, and I learn by watching people. Maybe I learn and I take something from someone who had a success, mm-hmm. and then I take something from someone else who has failed.
Yep.
And I kind of parlay those two things into just my own experience.
Sure.
Like, it seems like, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, that like you do a similar thing and mm-hmm. you also experience a lot of adventures on your own part. How much has that, your experiences versus other mm-hmm. people's experience, crafted what you've built up to this
yeah.
point?
No, sure. I think that's true of all of us. I think it's always a combination. You know, we were talking briefly at the start of the call about this World Domination Summit that I put on with a team every year. And, you know, we have known for years that, you know, we think it's roughly 50-50, like, who's to say, you know, what the exact ratio is. But, like, we put a lot of work and effort into curating that experience and producing all these, you know, activities and many events for, you know, a couple thousand people that come every year. But we also know that, so much of the value is in what they bring to it, like people who bring, you know, something to the community themselves. And so I'm sure the same is true with my work or your work or anyone's work. You know, you've got your own adventures and your own thinking and worldview, but that is informed by everybody else that you have interacted with or learned from. And so that's why it's important to learn, I think, from like a wide range of sources and not just from, you know, those influencers or whoever those people are in whatever world you're in. It's really important to kind of go beyond that. And, you know, for me, a lot of my formative experience was many years ago living in West Africa, working with aid workers, people who are just selfless and giving, you know, so much of themselves to this kind of work. Like, those were my influencers, you know, when I kind of made a transition to blogging. I didn't really know a lot about marketing and all that stuff until later. So learn widely and then just kind of integrate.
Oh my gosh, I love that. So I'm actually going through the audiobook right now of Born for This.
Okay.
And I love it because it speaks to, like, I think I was wired different. You know what mm-hmm. I mean?
Right.
And that mm-hmm. I truly believe we are on, like, everything happens for a reason, right? And it's just through your experience and your little, that everything, and you kind of hint at this, that everything is meant to happen the way it happens. As long as you work you work really mm-hmm. hard and diligent in this mm-hmm. one area and you're pushed to a certain direction, mm-hmm. this is meant to happen, yeah?
Maybe. I mean, I think it depends on what we're talking about, what category of things, right? I think there's a lot of things that happen in the world that aren't necessarily, you know, good things for people. And you know, we benefit a lot from the situation that we were born into. And, you know, I can think a lot about, you know, various benefits or privileges I've had that I didn't have to hustle for, right? So I think it's important to kind of, you know, have that out there. But then, you know, to a degree, once it comes to, like, okay, you work with the environment you're in, you do what's in front of you. You know, if you do the next thing, then that will get you to the next thing. And I do very much believe in the looking back thing about how you don't always know. This is like the Steve Jobs thing about you don't always know, like, you know, where you're going necessarily, but you can look back and see, like, oh, these dots connected, right? And they led up to something. And if I hadn't done this one thing, then it wouldn't have, you know, been something else and so on. So maybe it's
so how much is that, like, a self-fulfilling prophecy, you know?
Right. Like, yeah, who's to say, right? Who's to say, you know, that's the whole conversation about free will and everything else.
I just think about it in the most simplest terms. So I think it's hard to get great guests, although I have a catchy little title and brand mm-hmm. that's growing, and the audience is growing too, which is really fun.
Awesome.
And we're only 20, one episodes in, so like a lot of room to grow.
That's great.
But one thing that was, and I've got your book on my shelf, and I reached out on just a contact form, right? Mm-hmm. On one of your many websites. Mm-hmm. And I think like a lot of time, I have one of those. People reach out all the time on my contact mm-hmm. form, and I'm not as readily available. Like, I'm more readily available than you are. So mm-hmm. like, and it would just so happen that a couple weeks later, I hear back and mm-hmm. we get you on the show. It's like, mm-hmm. I feel like 8 times out of 10, that doesn't happen via contact form.
Hmm,
you know, like that's just kind of meant to happen, or if I'm someone else, or
sure.
I don't know. I guess I just kind of draw those conclusions.
Sure. I guess it depends on who it is. I've always been pleasantly surprised that a lot of people are, you know, pretty accessible. And yes, if you contact a number of, you know, X number of people, then some of them aren't going to write back, but presumably some of them will. So, you know, you do that for a while and you understand that people are busy and, you know, you have grace and hopefully eventually you connect with everybody that you're, as you said, you're meant to connect with.
I love it. Okay. So I don't want to take much of your time, but I do want to ask right now in the startup side hustles situation, ecosystem, mm-hmm. what are you most excited about?
What am I most excited about? Let's see. I didn't pre-think about that question because I just wanted to answer it as it came, right?
You want to note it? You want to think about it? No question I have asked you has been on that fucking production sheet I sent
it's
you.
It's good. No, it's good. It's a better conversation. What am I most excited about? Let's see. I have a great community of people that are listening to Side Hustle School. That's the daily podcast. And I really, really, really want to do a better job in serving them. I feel like it's a great community that have a lot of needs, and I probably meet maybe 5% of those needs, and I would love to get that to like 15 to 20%. So I'm trying to figure out how can I better serve them, better create structures to connect them with one another and all that kind of stuff.
What are some of the needs that like if you were to pie chart it out, what are like the biggest needs that they have?
Yeah, well, I think they kind of fall into two, you know, general buckets. And one is like the how to. Okay, how do I actually do this? You know, I'm not an entrepreneur, which is great because if you're an entrepreneur, you probably learned a bunch of this stuff. It's not going to help you. But then secondly, it's okay, that's the like the nuts and bolts and the logistics. But how am I supported in that? Because some people are really good at just kind of going, you know, with things on their own. Other people really do benefit from more of a support structure of a community. And so I kind of addressing both of those things simultaneously is my goal.
Okay. Now the one, this will be the last question, mm-hmm. or you can be as open-ended as you want. Mm-hmm. So how much, well, I have two questions, but I don't know your time constraints really. I know we only made a limited amount of time, but I'm weird. So I'll go with this. Everyone starts from kind of like a humble place, and that's this $100 startup mentality.
Mm-hmm.
At the beginning, I don't believe anybody, I believe so many people believe they're fancy, right? Mm-hmm. Like, oh, we'll just run Facebook ads and like this will happen and this will be amazing. Sure. But it's like, you need to go out and grab it sometimes, right? Like, do you have a practical, relatable, advisable strategy right now? If you had to say, hey, there's $100, what's your favorite strategy right now?
Sure. So I think, you know, the challenge is sometimes that works for people, the Facebook ads or whatever the thing is, and sometimes it doesn't. And so you can't just say like, do this tactic and then it will work, because it really depends on what your product is, what your service, like who are you trying to reach and all that kind of stuff. So that's why I think the stuff that you talked about earlier on about, you know, just getting something out there as quickly as you can, because you don't know, you know, if it was guaranteed, that would be really easy. It's never guaranteed. Mm-hmm. So you try stuff and you see what works, and then you invest in what is working. And I actually think the $100, you know, whether it's $100 or $0 or just some small amount of money, I think that's your advantage. It's not a disadvantage at all. It's kind of weird when people say things like, oh, I've got, you know, $7,000 to spend on a business. Where should I spend that $7,000? It's just a question that comes out of left field, you know, but I guess people really, that's how people think, because they've heard somebody talk like that before. And the whole question is, what are we trying to make? You know, what are we trying to make? And then that determines, you know, if you need to put resources toward it or what. But we live in this age, and sorry to go on, but like we live in this beautiful age.
Go on, my friend.
So much is possible without, you know, spending $7,000. So much is possible with all the different tools and resources mm-hmm. to be able to kind of you know, get something out within 30 days and see, okay, what do I do next? So it's a good time to be alive, I think.
I think it's just, you've got to audit yourself, like what works for you. Like for me, I don't mind going and knocking on doors and making in-person. I just don't mind that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think it's more effective because of the talents that I believe I have, which is impressing someone face-to-face.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
That's
like,
good. So you know your strength. Yeah, you know what you're good at.
Mm-hmm. And so I play to that strength.
Like, yep.
It, for success, do you believe it's really important to just be yourself, be who you are? Versus trying to, like you said, I think you hinted at a little bit, like you've heard an entrepreneur say that.
Well, not being yourself is exhausting, right? Not being yourself is really going to wear you out, let's say. So whether it's, you know, success, failure, all these words, I would just say you're going to not be in a good place if you're trying to not be yourself. And so that's the bottom line in life and business and, you know, in the world in general.
I love it. I appreciate you. I love you, my friend.
Awesome.
Where can people find you? Like, what do you want to point them to? Anything you want?
Oh, sure. No, I appreciate you. I don't have anything to promote. They could listen to the free daily podcast at sidehustleschool.com or in Apple Podcasts or wherever they listen to podcasts.
Love it. Thank you so much, Chris, for coming on, my friend.
Awesome. Thank you.